I'd like you to turn to the little book of Jude. And we'll see how far we get this morning. How many of you have ever studied the book of Jude? Jude's an interesting little book in the Bible. It's one of the shortest. By no means the shortest. It's probably two or three times longer than 3 John. But it packs a punch. Jude, as you read through this, you'll notice that Jude was a historian. And he goes back with no problems at all to the fall of the angels, to the first generation of Israelites out of Egypt, to Sodom and Gomorrah, to Balaam, and even quotes Enoch in a quote that we find nowhere else in the Bible, which is very interesting to me because it says that there must have been something written on the history of Israel that we don't have today that Jude might have had, or God spoke directly to him and said, "This is what I spoke through Enoch in the Old Testament." But let's look at the first part of the first verse. It says, "Jude, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James." Jude was the brother of Jesus and James. John's brother, James, was executed for his faith in Acts chapter 12, but the James mentioned here is the James who was head of the church in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 12, Acts chapter 15. Jude thought it was more important to mention that he was the bond servant of Jesus than to mention that he was Jesus' brother. I wondered about that. Why would he say that I am the bond servant of Jesus? And he wouldn't mention the fact that he was the brother of Jesus. For years, you see, Jude was an unbeliever. Imagine that, the brother of Jesus, but an unbeliever. In Mark chapter 12, he wanted to have Jesus restrained as the family of Jesus gathered there and wanted to have the people hand Jesus over to them because they were afraid that he had gone over the edge. Jesus was a man who claimed he was God. If you knew someone today who claimed to be God, you would probably send them to Craig for some counseling. Because I don't know about you, but that would be above my pay grade. One time I had a friend, a church member, who went into an institution. And I went to visit him. And it was the strangest feeling when someone walked up behind me and ran their finger, at least I think she did, ran her finger down my spine and said in a low voice, "I am Jesus Christ." At least it sent chills down my spine. Because I knew that she belonged in the institution she was in. She needed to be there. That's what Jude and James felt about Jesus, their brother. That he must be a lunatic. Because there's only three possibilities pointed out by C.S. Lewis and Josh McDowell. Either Jesus is a liar, or he is a lunatic, or he really is the Lord. Who is Jesus? A liar was the claim of the religious leaders of Jesus' time. A lunatic, many of his brothers and his friends would claim that he was crazy. But then there were those who came to believe, and Jude was one of them, James was one of them, came to believe that Jesus really was who he said he was. What could have produced such a change in Jude's beliefs, in James' attitude? What was it that brought them to faith in Jesus? We believe that Jude was one of the 500 people that Jesus talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, who saw Jesus alive after the resurrection. He was probably there with his mother when Jesus was crucified. He knew that Jesus was dead. And then he saw him alive. Now, Jude considered himself a believer in Jesus. He goes on in verse 1 and then in verse 2 to say, to those who are called. That had special meaning when you sang that. Amazed and called, we are now in Christ Jesus. Called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. May mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. I have been called according to this verse, beloved according to this verse, and kept by God. This was the desire of God. Notice, first of all, that we are the called. From our perspective, we come to Jesus. From God's perspective, we have been called. For whatever reason, God chose to reach out to us, to call us to salvation. Hearing that call, for some of us, it's an actual voice. I have a friend who said she was in her kitchen. She heard Jesus speak her name. She turned around and saw him. I don't know. But one day I heard him call to me with the offer of salvation. In my heart, he spoke to me. We have been called. We have been beloved. John would write in 1 John, we love him. The hymn is in italics. It's not a part of the original. We love because he first loved us. We can love. We have the capacity to love God and others because of his love for us. Beloved in God, God the Father. God is not a distant being. You can't love someone at a distance. You know, we've talked a lot about long-term relationships. Oh, it's going to work out. Well, sometimes maybe it does, but it can't stay long distance forever. You have to be in the presence of the person you're committed to love. And God is in our present. In our presence. He's not distant. He was the one, the Father, who loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. He loves us that much. And then the third thing is that we are kept. Isn't it wonderful that we are in the hand of Almighty God? That he keeps us. Why does he keep us? He keeps us because we're so good. Because we're worth keeping. No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, he keeps us for Jesus Christ. I am kept for Jesus. For Jesus' sake, I am kept. I am the Father's gift to the Son. You are the Father's gift to the Son, and he keeps us, and he will always keep us for Jesus. My calling, my being loved and kept all deal with God's reward. He made me. He redeemed me. He desires me. He wants me. But I also receive so much from this relationship with God. It's not all one-sided. It's not all Godward. But He gives to me so much. Look at the things here that are multiplied in my life in verse 2. He says, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Peter uses the word added. Add to your faith different things. Jude is using the new math here. 1 times 1 is a bunch. The word is used with children, isn't it? Multiply. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, right? So 1 times 1 is, for me, it's 3. I have 3 kids. It's not limited like math is. Some of you have less, some of you have more. But it's used for children. It's used also in the Bible for gold and riches, that they may be multiplied. But the blessings here of mercy and peace and love, they're not automatic, but they're here in answer to prayer. They need to be desired. I need to want God's mercy. He doesn't just pour it out on just anyone, but those who ask for it. I came and asked God for mercy, and He forgave me my sin. I asked for the peace of God, and He gave me peace with Him, and then the peace of God. I heard one preacher talking about peace, and he says it starts in your head when you read about it in Scripture. But then it goes to your heart, and you receive heart peace from the Lord. But then there's even a deeper peace. He said, talks about bowels, that real deep peace that we get from knowing Him and following Him. So these are wonderful things that we have as Christians. Even though Jude doesn't talk an awful lot about it, he says, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. And we're to pray for those things as a part of our common salvation. See, when I sin, I pray and receive the mercy of God. The world might be falling down around me, and in this world, there may not be any peace at all. But I can have peace in my heart because of this relationship that I have with Jesus Christ. And the love that God gives me, the sense in this world of loneliness and being alone. I have the love of God. So he says in the beginning of verse 3, beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation. See, there is a common salvation that we share. Jude addresses these Christians as beloved. People are loved when they share common experiences. An example. I was driving out to Denver to go to seminary, and I stopped at a rest area in the middle of Denver. And the car that pulled in next to me had Massachusetts license plates. Back then, I had Massachusetts license plates. And I said, well, where are you from? She said, I'm from Worcester. Now, I would never feel a kindred with any person who lived in Worcester. I don't know if I've ever known anyone who lived in Worcester. But the fact that she was from Massachusetts, there was an automatic bond there. You're from my home state. And there was a common experience. We shared a Coke and a little time and some conversation. It's the same when we are children of God. Jude had a lot of people with a common experience to share. They were Christians. They were beloved of God and each other. And that's what he wanted to write about. He wanted to write about those shared experiences, the mercy, the peace, and the love that they shared together. They had experienced salvation. The problem today is, who do we identify as Christians? It's hard to tell. You know, everybody has the crosses around their necks these days, and they're just, I don't know if they mean anything. For us, it should be very precious. But there should be some way to identify. And Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples by your love, right? By your love. Not by the way we dress, but by the way we care about each other. But the circumstances. Because of the circumstances, Jude had to change his message. And the circumstances we read about here in verse 4. He says, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly persons who turn the grace of God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Certain people had snuck in to teach false grace. They taught that you could be saved and then do anything you want to. These people denied that Jesus was to be our Master and our Lord. Because of love, what do we owe Him? Everything. Our total loyalty. This was not the common salvation found in verse 3. This is a perversion that is still with us today. The argument goes like this. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sin is already purchased. So we can go out and sin as much as we want. We don't even need to call it sin anymore because Jesus paid it all. So go ahead, go out and live any way you want to live because Jesus paid. Don't worry about your commitment to Him because Jesus paid for it, so might as well go out and do everything that you want to do because it's all been paid for. But see what the Scripture is saying here is Jesus is our Master. Jesus is our Lord. Why? Because of what He's done for us. He has purchased us with His blood. We are kept unto Jesus Christ. We are beloved by God. And because of that, we should desire to bow our knee and serve Him completely. So, verse 3, Jude tells us that he is writing to challenge us to contend earnestly for the faith which was once handed down to the saints. Faith here is a noun. It's a body of beliefs. It's a creed like the Apostles' Creed. It's what we as Christians believe. It is the basics of what we believe. As Paul said, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Lord who is in all and above all. There are not two faiths. There's only one. We do not make up our faith as we go along. Some people believe that. I met a man one time from a Universalist church, and he said, my job is to meet with the young people in our church and to help them create their faith. Our faith is in God's Word. And basically what it's like a window that's covered with slime. And what we are to do is we're to clean it so that we can see what our faith is. So that we can understand it clearly. It's not what we make up. It's what God has revealed to us. And finding that faith, we are to contend for it as we sang, stand up for Jesus. We are to contend for that faith. And it's not an easy thing. We started off with Lee Strobel's Case for Faith in the Thursday night discipleship group. And we got to that one chapter on evolution. And you know what our conclusion was? This is hard. And it is difficult to contend for the faith. But we need to know it. We need to study it. We need to practice it. Because it's so important. We need to make it a part of our study and a part of our life. We need to get those difficult books. And we need to do the work that's involved. The faith was given once and for all in God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. That from childhood, Paul is writing to Timothy, that from your childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom and leads to salvation through faith. Our common salvation, contend, Jude says, for the faith, which, back to Paul, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. We receive the faith from the Word of God. We believe God's Word, and that is counted unto us by God, Genesis 15, 6, as righteousness. So we no longer have to live lives apart from God, because He wants us to be in Christ, His beloved, kept, called unto Him. He wants us to be His children, to be His people, to contend for His faith. We do that with each other in church services, in Sunday school, in Bible studies, discipleship groups. We do that when we meet together one-on-one or in small groups or as a church, as a body of Christ. And we should be encouraging each other in the faith. Next week, we'll see three examples of people who had good beginnings, and then in the end, their faith failed because of what they did. Let's desire, let's commit to making Jesus Lord in our lives, to saying yes to Him, to being faithful in everything we do, to His Lordship. Where is our faith today? Our faith is in Christ Jesus. Our faith is in Him and in Him alone. Our Father, we thank You for Your presence with us today. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You most of all for our Savior Jesus. We desire that You be our Lord and our Master. Help us to simply be obedient to You, Lord, in all of our dealings. To look to You first of all. and then to contend for that faith once delivered. We thank you for the faith. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.